All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
All right, football fans, Super Bowl is just around the corner. It's the moment we've been waiting for all season. And DraftKings has you covered. They're the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55, and they're bringing back their golden ticket giveaway with up to $55 million in prizes being up for grabs. All you got to do to get your share of these huge prizes is enter DraftKings' free Super Bowl prediction challenge. Once you've submitted your picks, you get a free instant prize up to $25,000. And if you have the most predictions correct, you could win the top prize of $1 million. Download the app now, enter the free prediction challenge, answer questions like who will score last, and boom, get ready to make it rain. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion to its players since 2012, so they know a thing or two about big paydays. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code THPN to enter the free $55 million Super Bowl prediction challenge. Everybody gets an instant prize up to $25,000 just for playing. So use the promo code THPN now and enter the free $55 million Super Bowl challenge. Only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55.
Tracks.
All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Dome Podcast. I'm annoyed. I gotta admit it. I'm really fucking annoyed with that game. Before we get into the game, let's touch on PLD Line A as the breaking news. What do you think of the trade? I did a survey on Twitter and I asked people straight up, who would you rather have? PLD or Line A? And the official results are 52% said PLD.
Yeah.
No, sorry, 53%, and 47% said Line A. That's 250 people. That's a good sample size. Honestly, I selected Line A. I know a lot of people are shocked to see that many people that would rather have Line A, but when it comes down to clutch goal scoring and just the ability to score goals in general,
he's got the cake there. So, I mean, I guess it depends on what your team needs. PLD is obviously the better overall player, but I don't know. It's kind of this thing we're dealing with it in Calgary with Sean Monahan. Sometimes people, you know, forget how important scoring goals is, and maybe it gets a little overlooked if you're looking at his overall game. But, dude, the guy's a goal fucking scorer. He's a killer.
Well, yeah. Like, I mean, it's kind of weird, like, how people just kind of overlook the goal scoring aspect of it a lot, right? It's like, oh, well, PLD is so good in transition and forechecking. It's just like, well, Laine could score 50 goals.
Yeah.
Like, and like, that's why I think it's such a good trade for Columbus, because sure, I think PLD is probably, he is the better overall player.
Yeah.
He's going to be good. He's going to be very good for Winnipeg. They're getting a very good player. But I mean, for Columbus, you're getting a guy who could potentially score 50 goals for a guy who did not want to be there. How is that not a huge win if you're Columbus?
Yeah, considering the situation, right? We talked about this. Brian Burks talked about it. You're not supposed to, apparently, I mean, he could never get market value in return for a player that wanted to get traded. But plus they got Roslovic too. So I don't know. Who wins the trade if you had to pick somebody, gun to your head?
I would say that the Blue Jackets win just on that fact alone. They got Patrick Laine for a guy who didn't want to be there. I think PLD is the safer player, right? Like, he's probably, when it's all said and done, going to be a more, I don't know, day-to-day, in-and-out, everyday better player. But, I mean, Patrick Laine, like, if each player plays up to the potential, it's not even close. Patrick Laine is the better player.
And considering the situation, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like with your backup against the wall being Columbus, and you know, there's a good chance you're not going to get market value. So you got to factor that in too. Like I agree. I think they have the slight edge. They win the trade. I mean, time will tell, but
I think it's a good trade for both sides. But I mean, again, if you just look at like the situation with Pierre-Luc Dubois requesting a trade, I just think how can you say that's a bad deal for the Blue Jackets? You get a guy who could score 50. It'll be interesting to see how he works with Tortorella. But I mean, I'm a big Patrick Laine fan. I know it might surprise some people, seeing as I'm such a big analytics guy. And like, if you look at a lot of his underlying numbers, they're not very good, but he scores goals. It's the same thing we always say with Sean Monahan, right? It's like, I do not understand the criticism of all he does is score goals. It's like, what do you think wins hockey games? What is the goal of hockey? Scoring more goals than the other team. A guy like Patrick Laine does that, can do that at an insanely elite level. So I think that's a good deal for the Jackets for sure.
Yeah. I mean, all these analytics and metrics are good, but like, they only tell you so much.
Yeah. And I mean, like
you can't like look at the Leafs, right? You can't really necessarily build your team just on analytics. And, you know, even though what's his name again?
Oh, Dubas.
Yeah, Dubas. I was gonna say Dubois. I got Dubois on my brain. Dubie. You know, even though the argument is, yeah, he's built his team on analytics. Well, I mean, look at the draft that they got too, right? It's like,
yeah, they got gifted Austin Matthews
with Marner, and then they
Marnay,
man, Dubé, Dubois, Dubois,
Marnay,
So I don't know. We'll see. We'll get to the game, but man, I don't even know what I'm saying.
Listen, I think Patrick Laine is an insane player. I would take him on my team all day. Like, give me Patrick Laine. He's so much, like, even from a just watchability standpoint, I want to watch Patrick Laine play hockey. And again, I don't think it's taking anything away from Pierre-Luc Dubois. I think he's a very good player. Like I said, I think he's the safe player. And it seems the Jets have always wanted that. Yep. For some reason, they've never really been happy with Laine. Why they drafted him at 2 instead of Pierre-Luc Dubois there in 2016 is okay. But it seems they wanted a guy who they can just kind of rely on to be a top 6 forward. I don't think he's that good in his own end, but overall he's the better player. But in terms of upside, I think Columbus, dude, they got a guy who could score 50 goals. Like, Max Domi and Patrick Laine aren't going to be one of the most deadly duos in the league, possibly. Like, come on. That's going to be fun. That's a good trip. If you're a Jackets fan, you're absolutely stoked, I think, right? getting a guy like Laine for a guy who demanded a trade again. That's what I keep coming back to when everyone's like, oh yeah, but PLD's better. Yeah, but he requested a trade and you got Patrick Laine. You were in a position where you had like no leverage and you got Patrick Laine. That's a really good deal.
And who's the general manager in Columbus? Like Kip Lyon.
Yarmo,
man. Like he exchanges Anderson for Domi and whatever, make an argument for Anderson. Like he could have a turnaround season, but he wasn't going to do that in Columbus.
No, I don't think so.
Like, was that not more risky for Mark Bergevin to take that trade straight up, Domi for...
Dude, it's nuts.
And hey, maybe it'll play out. It'll pan out. But like Yarmo is two for two here.
Yeah. And I mean, even going back further, like this dude, like how many blockbuster trades did he made? He made the Jeff Carter trade. He traded Jeff Carter to LA. He traded Rick Nash for like Dubinsky or something. He did the Seth Jones for Ryan Johansson trade. He traded for Panarin. And then he lost Panarin, obviously, but then he did like you said, the Josh Anderson, Max Domi trade. This dude is taking risks and I like it. I would love to see the Blue Jackets have some success, but I mean, I actually really like the possibility of them having, like, I like their top six, even without PLD, like they got Bjorkstrand there. I don't know. I think it's good for the Jets. I think the upside is undeniably in the Jackets' favor though. Again, like Dubois will be a good player for them probably for years. He'll be a solid player, but I mean, if Patrick Laine, like, again, you got to remember how young these guys are.
Yep.
And the other thing to remember is that these fucking idiots passed up Matthew Tkachuk to take how many players? They took Laine at two, Dubois at three. The Oilers took Puljujärvi, the Canucks took Ulevi, and we get Tkachuk. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Canadian teams across the lane.
Like, because Tkachuk would go two in that draft now, right? You'd have Tkachuk over Laine, Dubois, and obviously Ulevi and Puljujärvi.
I mean, we made the argument for it last season. I think it's even an easier argument now. But
oh, totally.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm taking Tkachuk number two. Maybe some guys would take him number one. No, probably not, but maybe. I don't know.
Leafs fans who, like, have a hate on for Austin Matthews, mate.
So, and to tie that up too, like Yarmo in a market like Columbus, like how is he getting all these players there? I mean, he's making Brad Tree Living look like a little schoolboy here.
My favorite thing was that the Tree Living was close, you know.
He was one of those teams down to the wire. It would have been a big one. What do you think? I don't know who reported that. Was it Frank Cervelli?
Dude, I don't know. It's just I would really like. I'm so fucking sick of this like thing. Oh, we just said this on the last one. It's like, and the other team sniffing around is Calgary. Like, what is he doing? And maybe if he didn't spend so much time trying sniffing to acquire around. Guys we don't need. So stupid.
Like, instead of trying to be in on everything where you're not gonna get the player. Like, come on.
Right? Like, it's like he bounces from, oh, he's in on Petrangelo. Then he's in on Taylor Hall. Then he's in on Mark Stone. Then he's in on Jacob Markstrom. Then he's in on PLD. It's like, Jesus, dude, make up your mind. What do you want, man?
So how do you think that Laine is going to do with Torts, if you were to guess? Like, and I mean, look, I haven't followed this very closely, but it's hard not to get a beat on it when you're in Canada. But I mean, there's been a little bit of, you know, not necessarily bad blood between Laine and the Jets, but it's been bumpy the last probably two, maybe three, maybe more so, maybe the last 2 years. And like, what's that all been about? Just because he's, you know, not a defensive specialist. Is that where it all kind of started?
Well, I'm not sure. And I mean, this is something that I don't understand in general. It's like, hey, the Jets and, Blue Jack has pretty much just switched players because they essentially chose coaches over two young players, right? And I know PLD was on air you saying it wasn't about Torts, but I mean, come on, it has to be a factor, right?
Yeah. So
I don't really get that in general. It's like, why don't they just fire the coach and keep your young superstar? But anyways, I digress. But I mean, I think it seems to have been a long withstanding thing with Paul Maurice and Patrick Laine.
Yep.
And seems the Jets, like and kind of beyond that is like the Jets just don't like the way he plays, and like the stuff about him like playing Fortnite and PlayStation and shit is like it has seemed to be an issue with the organization for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Like, okay, I get it. Like, but I mean, has the dude's results not like how many goals has he scored? Like, he scored a shit ton of goals.
Exactly.
Like, what's the problem? I don't get it. If he's still doing what he's there to do, I don't really understand it. So I don't know the whole story. I know there's some friction there, but I mean, dude has scored 36, 44, 30, and 28 goals. Come on. Like, he's not doing his job. Are you fucking kidding me?
Dude, he's only been in the league for 4 seasons. Like, he's...
Yeah. Like, he scored 28 goals in 68 games last year. That's the lowest of his career. He scored 44 goals in his second year in the league. So, I don't know. I don't understand why they have a problem with him. Again, like, does anybody have a problem with Patrick Kane not playing defense in Chicago? No. He scores a lot of goals. Doesn't play defense. Why should he change his game? So, I don't know. I don't really understand that. I've never really understood that kind of idea where it's like same with Monahan here. It's like, oh, we want him to be defensive. It's like, why? He's not good at it, and he's good at scoring goals.
Yeah. So, I mean, today is a beautiful example of this. I even made a little clip of Bonnie's goal today. Is that not a perfect example of, like, this is why you don't freak out and just move goal scorers around willy-nilly?
Exactly.
You know, he's had one off season, probably due to the coach, and he, like, that goal he scored today. How many players in the league are going to score that goal? Like, you see a lot of bank shots like that when they're kind of like from behind the net and just like, oh, wow, like you do that 100 times. If Sean Monahan did that 100 times, what he just did today, he'd probably score 80 times. I mean, that was very calculated. He got his own rebound. He was all over the net before that, you know, banking it off.
Dude, do you know how many chances he scoring? And we'll get into the game in a bit. He had 11 scoring chances today.
Dude, he's looking good. He's looking good to start the season.
And that's what I don't get. It's like, yeah, Sean Monahan, dude has scored 100, almost 200 goals in his NHL career. And, well, he sucks. Shouldn't even be on the team. It's like, okay, he's only been one of the most consistent goal scorers in the NHL for the past 6 years, but whatever.
Yeah, and like you said, like, more emphasis on goals, please, because when you're down in a game like we were today, and Sean Monahan is the guy that scores a goal to tie it back up. Like, now you're back in the game.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, I don't know. I think Lionel will be great in Columbus to wrap that thread up.
Like, Torts is kind of a weird animal, right? Like, I remember seeing this player survey. It was an anonymous survey across the league for players. Players only, and there's two categories, and this is the one thing that I took away from this is pretty funny if you really think about it, but there's a category for, they're asking the players, who's the coach you would most like to play for? And Tortorella is in the top 5 coaches that players would like to play for. However, he's also in the top 5 coaches that players would hate to play for.
Yeah.
So he's that guy. Everybody knows it. You love him or you hate him because if you suck, he's going to tell you suck. He's going to tell you in front of the entire team. Dubois even kind of alluded to it. So it's kind of like this tough love thing, but, you know, like Dubois even said, it's like, it's not because he's a dick, right? That's just his way of communicating. And maybe he is a dick, but
yeah, he's a dick,
but he's not like an intentional dick. You know what I mean? It's not like he's trying to make you feel like shit.
He's a dick because he wants to win, probably.
That's his style. Like, if he knows that you can be better, he's just going to call you out. And so that works for some people it doesn't. That's to me what I'm curious to see is the relationship between him and Laine. And I have a feeling that, you know, and maybe Bennett was in this package going over whatever Brad was up to, I don't know. But a guy like Bennett, I think, would excel under a guy like Tortorella.
Oh, totally. Like, you think about the guys who were good under Hartley. Like, was Bennett not more effective under Hartley than he was under Gullitson and and Bill Peters and Jeff
Ford. That was probably his best season we've seen.
Yeah, so I think a guy like Bennett would be a perfect guy for Torts to coach. I mean, I'm not a big Torts fan. Like, the guy's pretty much done dick all since they won the cup in 2004, so I don't know, but...
Yeah, but look at the team he's had, too.
Yeah, right? It's true. And I don't think Jarmo Kekalainen would have acquired Patrick Laine if he thought it was going to be, like, a huge major issue.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe he did. Maybe he's just willing to take that risk, but he probably talked to Torts about it and said, okay, please don't fuck this up, bro.
Yeah. Don't make him cry. So the Jets, it's not like they really need more goal scoring anyways. What they do need is better defensive, probably team play. So a good move for them as well, right? And the Jets, have they not looked – it's like the Jets and the Canadians – I had the Flames up there too, but not really so much after today's game. But the Jets look good to start the season.
Yeah, and I mean, is it really that surprising? Like, their forward group is fantastic. I think lines 1 through 3 are at dynamite, up there with the Leafs in terms of how deep they are. So I like the Jets forward group. It was just a matter of if their defense can hold it together. So far, it's been okay. Adding Pierre-Luc Dubois to your top six is never going to hurt you, I don't think. So I think it's going to be a nice add. The only thing is they got to wait 2 weeks to get him. So
my bro was telling me this. He was looking into the schedule. They were trying to get him his quarantine cut in half. And if that happens, then because by the time we play the Jets next, the Jets will have him. But if they don't get him for 2 weeks, then I think we play two games against the Jets.
Yeah, that's true, eh?
So we're hoping it's
they don't
get the half cut quarantine. And I don't know how that all plays out, if that's the league decision.
Well, it might even be 3 games, won't it? Yeah, I think it will be.
Is it 3?
He must have started it. Yeah, maybe it'll be 2 because he must have started it the day he got traded, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'll probably be 2.
Well, he would have arrived last night. So probably today's day 1.
Oh, yeah. Then it probably will be 3 days because...
Now, what I've learned is you don't really want to hope for stupid shit like this because it seems to never pan out anyways. But
listen, win your games, play your game. Don't rely on shit like that.
Yeah. Although we not having Laine and Scheifele in the lineup in the playoffs made a big impact. So
huge impact.
Yeah. Just one less player to, worry about. Anyways, let's get into the game. First period, I was a little frustrated. The thing that frustrated me the most, to be honest, is the fucking jerseys. Why? Like,
dude, it's such an eyesore.
We're 4 games in. Why? It's been 4 games. They just can't let it go.
It's so rank, those things. They're just atrocious. They are atrocious. I don't care if you like those jerseys. They're absolutely one of the worst designed sports jerseys in history. They fucking suck.
One of the greatest things about the retros is the amount of red you get. Like, is red not your team color? These jerseys are most, like, when they put these on with the black pants and the black helmets and the black gloves, it's like they're all black.
I was going to say is, like, everybody gives the flag shit. The flag isn't even the part that bugs me the most. It's the huge black arms. Half the arm is black. And then that awful kill it with fire, tear my eyes out with a spoon under the arm horizontal pipe that goes into a V so it meets up with the pants. So it looks like the pants and the jersey are one. Oh, my Lord. I hate that so much. It's just I can't even look at it.
I think I was a little bit irritable just to start the day anyways.
No, totally.
I don't know about that. I have to watch the first period, which was really hard to watch, in those jerseys, in those uniforms. And it, like, why?
I don't know. Like, you could have let them. These jerseys, can you believe that the jerseys they wore in this 2004 Stanley Cup final were only around for 3 years? These monstrosities have been around since 2007. Oh. The exact same design.
Oh, my Lord. Okay, so...
like 15 years almost of this horrible crap.
And it's funny because we threw this Markstrom thing out, right? With, like, holy I think we're starting to realize how bad our goaltending actually has been the last 3 years, right? Just by having Markstrom in there and you realize how good he is, it's like really putting into comparison how bad our goaltending has been. Like, I didn't realize.
And I had no clue. Same thing with the jerseys.
Going back to these jerseys, it's like, these are fucking gross.
And I know people say like, oh, the white ones, I'm just glad we don't see them. The white ones are better because like you said, the fucking black. There's so much black. It makes me want to barf. I hate those jerseys so much.
So that to me, like, I don't understand why. It's only been 4 games to start the season. You're already rolling them out.
Especially against the Leafs on Hockey Night in Canada. Get that shit out of here. Seriously. I guess it wasn't technically Hockey Night, but you know what I mean.
Hockey Day, but anyways. Okay.
Ugly.
A little bit of jersey hate to start the game.
I don't understand why they can't get rid of those things. Like, they're so bad. Like, those jerseys have been so pervasive. Like, the fact that, I hate them.
All right, let's get into some actual game stuff. It's games like these, man. The first period was pretty bad, I thought. We turned it around in the second and third, made a game out of it. I just did a post on Twitter, like, what's with these goals that we're allowing? The last 5 goals have all been disgusting bounces. 4 of the 5 of them off our own defensemen.
Jacob Markstrom hasn't allowed like an actual shot in the net since what? Like Line A?
Yeah.
Like an actual shot. And even the overtime goal, he double clutched and it was fluky as shit.
Yes.
Like, when's the last time a shooter cleanly beat Jacob Markstrom? It's been like 800 minutes.
I think he needs a day off, though. I would go with Riddick tomorrow, Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm really curious. We'll see, I guess. I don't know. I might go to Markstrom actually again, just because you got to win. You got to win one of these two against the Leafs, don't you?
Well, yeah, you got. Yeah.
You got the Habs coming up. So I would be. I think they might go. Markstrom again on Tuesday. This is what I would do. I'd go Markstrom Tuesday. I'd go Riddick Thursday. Markstrom Saturday. That's what I'd do. Because I like, you got to win this next game. And he's still playing good. He's still feeling it. He's in a rhythm. I mean, was he really that busy tonight? Today was a boring-ass game. This is the one thing I have noticed about the Flames games, and this is kind of how Jeff Ward has them playing, is this really kind of low-event, restrained, kind of boring game. It was a boring-as-shit game today. He didn't have a ton to do. I would go back to Markstrom Tuesday if it were me.
How much of that is the Leafs, though? Because those last 2 games against the Oilers that the Leafs played looked like today. It was just like...
Yeah, I got to say, the Leafs looked like shit today. Like, they didn't do much for me at all.
No. Other than Lucic passing it to Marner for a breakaway, did they really generate much? They had
scored all their goals were bounces, like every single one.
And though that was predominantly like where all their chances were generated from. Yeah. Like
I can think of Nylander had that one chance in the first period, I think. And holy shit, you know what? I can't believe how good Jacob Markstrom is. I will eat shit on this one for the rest of my life. I was skeptical. This dude is amazing. That remember that, you know, the Nylander chance I'm talking about?
Yes.
Markstrom came out to poke check and Nylander gets the puck and kind of toe drags around him.
Yeah.
And he tried to go 5-hole. Markstrom 5-hole. Yeah. You couldn't fit a fucking golf ball through there. Like, he had that 5-hole so tight. It was unbelievable. Like, I just can't believe how good he is technically.
Yeah.
Like, he's so good in his net. It's unbelievable. And I am so happy.
And it's funny because, like we just mentioned, now that we have Jacob Markstrom in there, it's really, you know, becoming apparent that, holy shit, I guess our goaltending wasn't really that good. And look at Vancouver, how they're struggling.
Holy shit, dude.
There's been a couple of games where they haven't really got on the score sheet much, but, you know, those last 2 games that they had with Montreal, they're going toe-to-toe with goals. Like, they weren't having a problem scoring, but I think they're feeling the effect as well of not having Markstrom back there.
I watched that game, and I mean, like, well, I watched both 2 of the 3 games they played against Montreal, and it was unbelievable. Like, I guess I didn't really realize how reliant they were on Markstrom last year. And I mean that we talked to Woodley and he was like, yeah, like if by the clear sight model, Markstrom was one, was the best goalie in the league last year and saved Vancouver in excess of like what, 50 goals.
Oh, that's a lot of goals.
Sure looks like it. You watch the Flames games. It sure looks like it too. And like, I guess I just have Riddick and Talbot and Rito Berra and Kerry Ramo and Mike Smith.
Brian Elliott.
And Brian Elliott and like, Jesus. Hiller. Everybody else, Hiller to compare. And it's just like, he's so good positionally. It's unbelievable. Like, he's not flying out of his net. He seems to always be in control.
Yeah, I actually, you know what? I agree with you. I think you have to start him the next game, but
yeah, I think you do.
And I don't really know how these teams monitor how many games the goalies play. Like, is there some sort of, you know, formula they follow, or do they just check in with the guy? Like,
well, yeah, I would hope they would check in with him. I remember when it was like Gullitson, he or Peters too. Like, they both had trouble. They were like, "Yeah, we're gonna split it," and then they never would.
Yeah.
Remember, it was like, oh, Riddick's played 48 games in a row, and oh, no wonder he sucks.
Yeah, like this isn't even like a, we're not in a 1A, 1B situation. This is Jacob Markstrom is your hands down starter. David Riddick is your hands down backup.
So I don't know. I would hope they're checking in with Markstrom. I'm sure they have some sort of I'm sure they have like some sort of program, or like, I would hope like Chris Snow has some analytical thing that like projects who should get what start based on rest and stuff. But you probably check in with Markstrom as well. I mean, you do kind of have to get Riddick in soon, but I really do think you have to win on Tuesday. So you probably should put Markstrom back in. And again, he's been so good. He has not like, other than these goddamn bounces, he's been unbelievable. Like, he hasn't even let a goal in.
He hasn't let a goal in. He hasn't let a shot on net in. Those are not shots on net.
No, it's ridiculous. He would, if those bounces didn't go in, he'd be like on an NHL shutout streak record right now.
I like how they're like, yeah, Austin Matthews gets his first shot on net and he scores. It's like, sorry, that's not a shot on net.
He touched it and it hit Anderson.
Yeah, come on.
So I'm blown away by Jacob. Again, like, maybe I shouldn't have been. I guess I was totally way off base with my concerns. Dude's been amazing.
Yeah. Easily our most valuable player so far. But, I mean, it's not like, there's been some other outstanding performances by individuals, but he's been the best. He's been our best player.
Okay, so the Flames go down 1-0. It was a weird first period. I don't know, like, nothing really happened.
The first for me is so frustrating because you're wanting something to happen, like you said, nothing happened. And it's just like, it's kind of like they're playing through, you know, quicksand, right? It's just like you can't get anything going. And I don't know if that's just a tribute to, you know, clogging up the neutral zone or what it is specifically, but it's frustrating when that happens, man. Like, you just want some action and you want to see some chances. We saw a little bit more of that in the second. You know, and even they're just, you know, that first period, it's just like and maybe part of it's too is just how many times did we see that last season where it's just like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. And I mean, they weren't bad in the first period, but they certainly weren't very good. Like, they looked like it was more rust than rest type of thing. Like, they looked like took a while to get their legs going.
Yeah.
And again, Markstrom bailed them out a few times. But they just didn't, and I think even all night, they didn't really generate enough dangerous chances. They were just kind of like throwing a lot of low quality shots on net. So I don't know. It was such a weird game. But well, I mean, that shift that Monahan scored, that was the best shift of the night. And that was a hell of a shift.
Oh, that was awesome.
That was an absolutely great shift.
The other thing too is the black hole that is the fourth line. Like, as soon as they're going the ice, man, like, oh, any moment. Oh man, it just seems like as soon as we're starting to get momentum, right? You have, you know, the Backlund line, the Monahan line, whatever the other line is. Oh yeah, the Lindholm line.
Lindholm and Chucky.
They're starting to generate, right? They kind of win their battles, they win their shifts, they're generating, and then the fourth line comes out there and it's a fucking black hole. It's a tire fire. Those guys are atrocious.
Dude,
it's
they like, got absolutely wrecked tonight. And I mean, how many, like, does Lucic, like, is he done?
Dude, he is done.
Like, did you, anytime he touched the puck tonight, it wasn't just like a giveaway or a screw up. It was like a monumental blunder.
And another fucking stupid penalty again.
Like, that line got absolutely cratered tonight again. Like, what are they going to do with that line? It's like you said, it's a black hole. And Nordstrom sucks too. But I mean, like, Lucic is so noticeably bad. And I mean, this is what I was expecting from him last year when I was so freaked out when they got him. Like, yep. Dude, what are they going to do, man? Like, he was like 3% expected goals for tonight or something crazy. I'm going to look it up right now, but like, it was insane, dude.
I don't know, man, but if you're Jeff Ward, you got to be worried, because if he's going to be this bad, like, what are your options?
He made that giveaway to Marner for the breakaway, but then there was another giveaway. I think it was in the first period, right at the point where he just mishandled it.
Well, that's all he does. He gives the puck away. As soon as he gets the puck, it's like, oh, here comes a fucking turnover.
And that's the one thing you could say about his game last year that was like, okay, well, he's slow as shit. He doesn't do much for you offensively, but at least he's smart enough and can still make plays that like don't lead to scoring chances against. That's totally the opposite this year. He has been an absolute like every time he's been on the ice this year at 5-on-5, he has been a liability. Like every single shift, yep. Every one of his 5-on-5 shifts this year has been a problem.
100%. Maybe he just needs to get into some fights. I don't know. Like, it's got to be tough for him too, right? Like, you're at the end of your career. You obviously don't have the skills anymore. Like you don't. Like,
obviously, dude.
And you're obviously, because of that, you're on the fourth line. You're getting less and less ice time, and you can't pull a shift together. Like, what does he have to do? Because I don't think, like, at what point do you take him out of the lineup?
Because for me, it would have been last game, but I mean, it's a tough one because the guys love him and shit.
Well, that the last thing they want to do is take Lucic out of the lineup, right? If you're the coach and the GM, but at what point do you have to? Because, well,
yeah, exactly. Like, he's cost you like how many scoring chances over the course of the last few games? Like, game one, a huge blunder giveaway that led to the goal that changed the tide of the game. Like, I mean, he's had like, it's not just that he's turning the puck over. He's like turning the puck over in ridiculous situations right now. I don't know what his deal is. It's so weird. It's weird because like he was so good in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like so good. And now he's just four or five months later, he's completely fallen off a cliff. It's weird.
I think if you're Lucic, only he can get himself out of this funk, man. I don't know how much of it is the players around him now, right? He's not playing with the same caliber of players that he was either in the playoffs or last season.
Nordstrom is an absolute, like, dude, why not play Glenn Godden or Matt Phillips or Brett Ritchie there? Like, Nordstrom is worse than Zach Rinaldo. I'm not even kidding. Nordstrom's worse than Zach Rinaldo. He's terrible, dude.
There's that one shift from him that completely blew my mind, because you're late in the game. You need to press for a goal. You're shorthanded. And he's got a chance to jump in the rush to potentially form a 2-on-1. And he's just like coasting. It's just like, dude, you're not getting any ice time. We need a goal like really bad. There's 4 minutes left in the game. And like, there's potential 2-on-1. And you're just like standing around.
Like, he has the hockey IQ of like, it's unbelievable how bad he is. Like, and again, me sitting here in my house criticizing NHL hockey players. For a guy who plays in the NHL, that guy should not be in the NHL. I'm sorry. Like, he doesn't have the smarts, nor does he have the skill. Like, he should not be in the NHL. Like, he's probably the most he's the Michael Stone of forwards. He's so bad. Like, I cannot believe how ineffective and bad he has been. And when they signed him, I was like, whatever. He's just a depth guy.
No, he's not.
He's terrible.
It's like you said, Michael Stone. Why do you have terrible players as your depth guys? And it's funny, right? We just talked about this. You know, how much depth this team has, apparently. But you have one injury. Dubé goes down, and now your fourth line is your black hole, and it's losing you Hockey, well, lost you. I think it lost you a hockey game today. I don't know if you could chalk it up as the fourth line lost you the game, but man, it just kills the momentum. Just the momentum kills.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, it's weird to say, like, because usually if your fourth line's your biggest problem, then you're feeling pretty good. But when they are that bad, like, what I had it pulled up here, Lucic was, as a line today, like, dude, it's unbelievable. It's not just that they're bad. It's that when they're on the ice, they're smoked. They were like 16% expected goals for tonight. They're getting absolutely cratered.
That's terrible.
It's like every time they're on the ice, it's a huge problem. Like every single time they're on the ice is a huge problem. So like they got to fix this fourth line. And again, it seems weird to say like, oh, your fourth line is your biggest issue. They were terrible. And every time they're on the ice, they got cratered tonight. So they got to fix it.
So if you're Jeff Ward, what do you do? Because what are the options? Like remember last year, whenever Quine came up, like stellar fourth line player, just absolutely perfect.
I thought he was very good.
A guy like Buddy Robinson, get him
Zarnik. Zarnik, hello.
Well, we don't have him anymore, but like,
no,
we have,
but I mean, when he was in, he was great.
Yeah. Why don't you call up Godden and Buddy Robinson?
Listen, like, Buddy Robinson, even Richie, like he's a competent NHL player.
Yeah. So typically, I mean, we talked about, you know, your third line typically is your shutdown line. Typically, your fourth line is just your energy line. Like when they're out there, you should be getting energy. That means they're just, they get the puck in. Those are the guys that dump the puck in and chase it. And they get it. They cycle it. You know, they just grind the D-man down and because they can give her, right? They're only playing 6 to 8 minutes a game. They can just give her. I remember, did you ever see games with Rocky Thompson?
Oh, yeah. It's weird. I was just talking about him the other day. He only played like 15 total games in Calgary. Isn't that weird?
People fucking loved it when he got called up. Because you knew he was just going to be banging bodies. And it's like, it just creates energy. And maybe there's no fans in the building, so it's not the same impact. But the bench still gets going. Like, right? So you have these, you know, sinking ships, man. Like,
listen, Zach Rinaldo would be more effective in the lineup than Lucic or Nordstrom right now. Because at the very least, he's banging. Like, and you're talking to the guy who, like, I'm like, fuck that. He fights, he hits guys' shit. Zach Rinaldo would be more impactful on your fourth line right now than Nordstrom or Lucic.
Yeah.
Straight up.
And I think that, you know, part of it is the fourth line needs an identity because, like I just said, typically that's what your fourth line does. When they go out there and get their, you know, five or six shifts a game, and I think they're getting too many shifts, to be honest with you. Jeff Ward is rolling that fourth line way too much. But when that fourth line gets out there, man, you should be getting little sparks of energy. Like, yeah.
Getting completely cratered and not generating a goddamn thing.
Instead of completely sinking any and all momentum that your team has going for you, like that's what's happening right now.
Yeah, it's a huge problem, and I don't know what they're going to do to fix it, but they need to fix it. I legitimately think you win tonight if the fourth line wasn't that bad. Like it was so bad.
So what can he do right away? I mean, they got Richie. You know they're not going to take Lucic up, but maybe that's okay. Maybe if they just swap out Nordstrom for Richie, then
yeah, I think that's an upgrade.
Then that line has a bit of an identity, right? You still have Ryan down the middle, which, you know, is kind of a mismatch for Lucic and Richie, but maybe he can have some fun with it. Dude, maybe Ryan can find a way just to be like, you know what? I got these two big bodies. All I'm going to do is just strategically throw it into corners, right? They're going to generate hits. Like, we need the fourth line to contribute. They can't. And part of it's, you know, personnel management from Ward too. And part of that is he's got to give these guys an identity. They got to know, like, what, because right now they're just going out there and like, what are they trying to do? They're trying to score goals. Like, what do they know what they're doing? Do they know what their, you know, purpose is on this team?
Well, I mean, like literally if Lucic stops, Lucic needs to get it together is pretty much the issue. Like, I think if you swap up Nordstrom for Richie and Milan Lucic, like, I don't know what his problem is. Like, is he not in shape? Hey, I sound like Eric Francis over here, but I mean, dude looks like shit, dude.
Dude, he looks so bad. Like, why? Like, if you know you can fight, why don't you at least fight?
So something's up with Lucic. He needs to get his shit figured out. Otherwise, like, because, again, they're not going to take Lucic out.
No.
Even though maybe they should. I don't think they will.
How about this? You go Lucic, Richie, and Ronaldo. Who's going to center them?
Well, even if you went Lucic, Ryan, and Richie, or Lucic, Ryan, and Richie, yeah, like, dude, I'm just blown away at how terrible a hockey player Nordstrom is. Like, dude sucks, man.
Honestly, I'm just looking at the, what'd you call him? The Steamboat USS Lucic. When that line's out there, man, that's all I can look at. It's just like, I can't believe how bad he is right now.
I just can't believe his puck making, like his decision making and his unforced turnovers. Like, what has happened to him?
I don't know.
It's so weird.
So let me ask you this. As of right now, who would you rather have, Lucic or Neil?
Neil.
Because
straight up, dude.
Neil has been horrid as well, but not this bad.
Lucic, again, like I said, every time he's on the ice at even strength, he is getting cratered and he's a liability. So
why is he still in the power play?
Dude, Josh Levo needs to play more.
Yeah.
Josh Levo only got 13 minutes in ice, which is actually higher than I thought. He needs to play more. I wanted to see him on the power play.
Put him in front. Put him in Lucic's spot.
Yeah, especially when he's a right-hand shot. I think you need that. So put him on the power play.
Like, you tell me if Lucic is going to be effective, what? Because he can screen? Like, that's all he can do? He's not really – you telling me he's going to have the hands in tight?
Dude, he scored that. He scored those two goals against Vancouver and San Jose last year from backline feeds, and you know you're never going to see him not on the power play because of those two goals now.
How many goals did he have last year? Four or five?
Eight, maybe seven.
In the regular season?
I think he had maybe seven. I'm going to look it up right now. I can remember they almost went undefeated when he scored.
I just remember his goals were like, oh my God, he had a wide open net. He almost missed it.
Well, yeah. Remember his first goal as a Flame against Buffalo? Dubé and Ryan make a great setup, and he buries it into the paddle of the Buffalo goalie, and it barely trickles in. He had eight goals last year. So, I don't know. Lucic, he's got to get it figured out.
All right, thoughts on Simone with Monty Johnny?
I mean, he didn't really play much.
Oh, man. Like, honestly,
I know Lindholm and Tkachuk have been dynamite, but fuck, dude. Every time they had that post-penalty Lindholm or Tkachuk Monahan Gaudreau lineout, I was like, they were buzzing.
And then there was that one time where they did that.
Yeah.
And then Chucky went off, and then Mangiapane was on there for a bit with those two. And that looked good as well.
Yeah, I just think you need to somehow figure out how to maximize something on that wing. I don't know. Like, I thought Simone was okay, but I don't think he's the guy that deserves that spot.
Yeah, he's not really the answer for Johnny and Monty.
And the thing I don't fucking understand, like, all week this has been, oh, he's played with Crosby. Oh, he can play at the high level, played with Crosby. Did you hear that Dominic Simone played with Crosby? Did you know that he played with Crosby? Okay, here's the guy who played half of his career with Crosby. You know how many goals he had last year playing with Sidney Crosby? Seven. You know how many goals he had the year previous? Eight. I think it's a stupid thing to say, oh, he played with Crosby, therefore we should put him on with our top two players. If you play with Sidney Crosby and score 15 goals in 2 years, something tells me you probably shouldn't be playing with Sidney Crosby.
Plus, is that really, like, you know, a thing that Simone makes him a better player? Like,
that's what I'm saying.
That's like saying, like, oh, yeah, Zach Cassian plays with Connor McDavid.
It's exactly what it's like saying.
We should go get Zach Cassian now because did you know he plays with Connor McGregor? I'm forever fucked up now with Connor McGregor.
And I mean, it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And it's like on 960 all the time. Oh, he played with Crosby, eh? It's like, well, so what? He scored. He did dick all with Sidney Crosby. Like, I mean, if you play with the best player in the world and don't produce, I think that's an indictment on your ability play with top players, right? So, and again, I like Dominic Simone, but I don't think he should be on the right wing on our top scoring line. So,
see, it's funny. Like, we're only four games into the season. It's only been one game, and we're like, fuck, we need Dubé back.
Yeah, I know, right? And that's why I was saying, like, this depth, this dumb – Derek Wills. Oh, I cannot believe how much depth they have. They don't have depth. One injury and you're fucked already. So I don't know. I don't know why they took Levo off that line. I thought he was working good with those two guys. I'd put Levo back up there.
Didn't Levo play with Pettersson?
Oh, yeah. He played with Pettersson, so he must be great.
Did you know Levo played with Pettersson?
But I do think, like, why is Levo, like, what did Levo do to go off that line? And I think Simone would be better on the back of the line anyways, so I don't know. We'll see. I would make the adjustment and put Levo there. Long term, I would still love to see Matthew Tkachuk play with those two guys.
Still waiting on Levo to kind of do anything, eh? He's
Well, like I said, he hasn't been getting much ice. And I mean, like, I think
put him on the second power play.
Put him on power play too, right? Like, that's what he's good at. He's a goal scorer. He's got a right-handed shot. He gives you something you don't have on power play too. I don't know why he's not getting power play too done.
Another power play goal tonight. Like, how good is the power play?
Power play looks great, man.
But listen, we've been saying this for a while. With the personnel you have out there, the power play should be this good. So to me, they're starting to hit their potential.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, how good, again, like we mentioned it before, Sean Monahan was great tonight. He had 11 scoring chances. He had like six or seven high danger chances.
He was making
goal. Dude looked nasty, very good.
He was making those nasty dangles in the high slot, whether he has to dish it or, you know, move the buck around. I thought he should have buried that one earlier in the game, though.
Yeah, that's true. He blew it. Like, they're like, oh, he just missed. It's like he put it into like row 10. Fucking fired it 400 feet in the air. I thought Sean Monahan was very good tonight. I thought Gaudreau was buzzing a bit. I thought he's looked good, honestly, over the whole season thus far. I think literally if you don't get a bad bounce and you maybe are a little more sharp in the first period, the Flames played better in that game than the Leafs. They weren't great, but they deserve to win probably. So,
well, cause they weren't great, but neither were the Leafs.
The Leafs did nothing for me tonight.
And like outside of those three lucky bounces, it cost you the game essentially. How do you get three lucky bounces to lead to goals? Like, it's one thing if it's one. So there was two lucky bounces that led to goals the last game. There was three tonight. Hopefully there's not four.
Well, dude, like I said, it feels like it's just like shades of 2017, 2018, where it's like nothing would go right that year. It seemed like every game you outchanced and outshot and play better than the other team, and you just couldn't win. That's what tonight felt like. It felt like a Glenn Gullitson special tonight.
So let's go over this. One thing you like to post, I think most games is the deserve to win a meter.
Yeah, for on moneypuck.com.
So the Flames, if you replay that game, and you know that's what it looked like too. Oh, you take away those lucky bounces. If you replay that game, statistically speaking, the Flames win. What is it?
It's like 53% of the time, something like that.
57.8. So pretty much 58% of the time.
Yeah.
So they carried the majority of the play, generated more chances.
Flames should have won.
Here's your breakdown. Shot attempts were 48-36 Flames. Scoring chances 26-20 Flames. And Monahan had 11.
Yeah. He was good tonight, dude.
High danger scoring chances was 12 apiece. Expected goal share, the Flames took that too, 54% to 46%.
Yeah, so like if you play that game 100 times, the Flames win it most of the time, I think. Again, like they were slow to start, had some bad bounces, bad shifts by the fourth line. And you know what? Like I thought Gio and Anderson kind of struggled again tonight.
Well, and there's that play late in the game. Was it the last shift? You got the net empty and Rass just lets it hop over his stick.
Yep. I didn't think he was great tonight, to be honest. And honestly, like I think they played good the last game, but outside of that, the second game against Vancouver, I have not been super stoked on their play, to be honest. And I know I keep saying like they'll be fine, but there's three of the four games the Flames have played, they haven't been the best defensive pairing. It's kind of starting to be a bit of a concern for me. I don't know.
Yep. Valimaki and Nesterov looked good tonight again.
Dude, how great was that Valimaki play? Valimaki was on the ice with the goalie pulled, which I loved.
Yes. See, that was the thing. He was on first, and he was making shit happen.
He had that play where Chucky tipped it right in front that almost went in.
And like, here's the thing. If this Val Mackey continues getting these opportunities, he's going to start getting more dangerous in those situations, right? As soon as he gets more comfortable, it's going to pan out. And then, like I said, Rass takes his spot once the whistle blows and then fucking hops right over his stick and now you're fucked.
Yeah, I don't know what is going on with Rass and Gio, but they were scrambling in their own zone too. Like they I don't know what, it was weird. Like they haven't been great, to be honest. I know they've scored a few goals while they've been on the ice, but I mean I haven't been, and again, I'm not worried because like I think they'll be fine, but it's been three or four games where they haven't been great. So it's a little weird.
You did have that nice little dangle on the blue line, though. That was pretty sick.
Rass or Gio?
Rass.
Remember when it was.
Rudy was.
Oh, on the power play where he faked Hyman out.
Yeah, that was nasty.
That was sweet.
Yeah. And actually,
he's been great on the power play, I'll get for sure.
You know who I thought had a really good game? Noah Hanifin.
Dude, other than that one blunder, which was more Lucic's fault than his, he was excellent.
He was creating some high danger opportunities in the offensive zone. He was getting it done in the defensive zone. He's got the speed. He's moving the puck nicely. I think for him, man, like if he's got to keep his game nice and simple. How do you think that pairing with him and Tanev is shaping up to be right now?
Dude, I'm actually really pleasantly blown away with how good Chris Tanev has been with Noah Hanifin.
Tanev had a couple pretty bad giveaways there in the first period, right?
Yeah. Early in the game, I even texted you. I was like, holy shit, Tanev and Hanifin are getting crushed.
Yeah.
But they started to get it. The thing that I'm just like, I'm very impressed with Tanev. It's like, again, like similarly to Markstrom maybe, is like everything seems to be within his control. You know, it's like he's calming out there and it's like, I think he... And I guess this was the idea behind replacing Hamonic with him, is that he is a much more responsible defender and can allow Noah Hanifin to do more in the offensive zone. I don't know. I really liked a lot of the plays Chris Tanev was making tonight.
Okay, let's do a quick power ranking. Defenseman, 1 to 6. From what you've seen
for the first four games.
From what you've seen through four games.
Honestly, like number one is Chris Tanev has been fantastic. I will eat shit on this for the rest of my life. I don't care. Like people seem to think when I give people shit that I enjoy, I don't want to be wrong. I don't want to be right about Chris Tanev sucking. I want to be awesome. Chris Tanev's been great. Tanev one, Rasmus two, just because he has been very good on the power play. Hanifin three, like Gio's been your worst defenseman probably, right? I'm just like Valimaki, Nestrov have been great. Valimaki, Nestrov, and Gio. Like Gio has done the least, right? Do you agree? I don't know. Like Nestrov and Valimaki. Like Valimaki had a tough game against the Canucks, and you still won. But dude, they've been great. The pairing two and three have been awesome.
They have been. Yeah. I don't know. I really like the way Valimaki and Nestrov are playing. And the good thing about them too is they seem to be getting better as each game goes on. So it's, you know, I think part of this too is it just I'm guessing here that it goes to show just how good of a defenseman Valimaki is. I bet you the success we're seeing from Nestrov, a lot of that has to do with Valimaki. But man, they've been my favorite pairing. I'm not going to say necessarily they've been the best hands down, but they've surprised me the most. And I think Nestrov, obviously, I mean, we're not really surprised by Valimaki, but like, look what Valimaki did tonight. I'm telling you, the more this guy gets comfortable, make sure he's getting those opportunities because, you know, he's one of those guys that he wants to be, right?
Yeah,
along, totally. Right along there, right in there with the best of the defensemen in the league. So he just needs that opportunity to keep, you know, increasing and getting his game better. And I don't know. I'm loving those two back there.
Yeah, me too, for sure. And I mean, like, Yuso has been as advertised. I think it's good to start him. I can't believe how good, because the two defensemen who had major question marks, both Nestrov and Tanev, have been very good. So I'm very impressed.
All right, maybe we should do this. Instead of the individual defenseman, let's power rank the pairings.
Okay, pairings. Yeah, I think pairing two has been the best, Hanifin and Tanev. Pairing three has been the second best. Nesterov and Valimaki, and I think Gio and Anderson have struggled a bit.
Okay, I'll go Nesterov, Valimaki one, Hanifin, and Tanev two.
He's just been so good.
It's not like it's a wide margin, but I think probably part of the power ranking goes into, like, you know, Gio and Ras should be better, and Valimaki and Nesterov should be worse, but those are kind of opposite right now. So,
like, Valimaki and Nesterov led the team tonight in possession, 68%, almost 69% each in Corsi 4. Like, they were great, and expected goals over 70% expected goals for percentage. And yeah. And Tanev was first on the decor with 73%. Like, man, wow. those three guys have impressed the shit out of me, dude. And I mean, again, if Noah Hanifin, like, there was a few plays where it's like, I wish he would just be that much better. Like, you can see it, right? Like, yep. You can see, yep. Like, it's, there was one play where he had a chance to walk into the slot and let one go, and he just kind of fired it. Like, if he just could refine some elements of his game, I don't know if it's confidence, I don't know what it is, but if there was just, if he made some better decisions occasionally with the puck, he would be a lights out defenseman right now.
But he's starting to generate in the ozone. Like, he hit the post today. There's been, yeah, a few pretty high danger, you know, plays that he's generated.
So I really hope it starts coming together for him, because the Flames really need it.
Yeah, and so do I. And I would love to say that it looks like it's happening, because it does. But every time it looks like it's happening, he'll just, you know, do something to completely unravel that. So
yeah,
we'll keep an eye on that. So before we wrap things up, let's just touch on this. The Toronto fans are losing it right now because, you know, with Chucky's antics with Campbell. That's not how Campbell got injured, but there was a play late in the game when Chucky fell on top of Campbell on purpose, obviously. He kind of almost, I mean, I don't know how intentional it was. Listen, when Chucky's in the crease and when he's on the goalie, I can guarantee you it's 100% intentional every single time. I don't know if he necessarily intentionally meant to jump on him with two knees, like, near the top of the knee's head, but I only got one little look at it. I'm not sure. I didn't see it in real time. But your thoughts on that?
I don't know. Leafs fans are crazy. Twitter is crazy. I'm watching it in like 1/10 slow-mo right now, and it's like he gets pushed into the goalie by TJ Brody. Like, I think, again, like you said, anytime he's doing anything in the crease, it's not an accident. But I mean, come on, like, he's just being Chucky. It's not like he's like, I'm gonna jump. Like, it's the same thing with the Shifley thing. It's like, what are you stupid? You think a hockey player is thinking in that moment, that split second, I'm gonna try to injure this guy? Give me a fucking break.
It's funny, like, and what's Toronto gonna do? Hey,
dude.
Like, they are.
What legit, are you gonna do?
They legit are one of those teams where it's just like, I don't know, man. Like, why don't we push them around a bit more?
Well, and the thing, exactly, right? Like that's what bugs me about Lucic too. It's like, Mangiapane got run over by Wayne Simmonds,
dude.
Is okay. That not why Lucic is there?
He fucking almost broke his neck, dude. Like, that was scary.
That was so dangerous. Was Tavares scary. Almost broke Johnny Gaudreau's hand twice. No call. Like, what the fuck is Lucic there for? If he sucks that bad and he's not doing anything physically, what is he there for?
He's there to turn the puck over to the other team and take dumb penalties.
Like, why doesn't he at least go over to Simmonds and say, hey, I'm going to kill you, bro, if you do that again? Like, do something. Do something. Again, like, the Fling, you have Lucic there. Push him around a bit. So, like, the Leafs fan can whine all they want about that one play. I mean, I saw a lot more dirty shit from the Leafs players tonight than I did from Matthew Tkachuk falling on their goalie.
Yeah. Do you think, just because of the way this exploded, do you think Simmonds is going to try and get in Tkachuk's face? Because I hope he does. Like,
bring it on, bitch.
I don't think Tkachuk will get sucked into that. As a matter of fact, it'll be the opposite. He'll be sucking Simmons into something. But then that opens the door for Lucic to do something.
Well, he maybe needs to do something.
Maybe Ward, just because, you know, he's going to prepare for this, is going to dress Richie or Ronaldo for that purpose next game. We'll see. Hopefully he does that just so Norstrom's out of the lineup.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, okay. I kind of wish the Flames did. Like, again, if you have your fourth line under this, like, wasn't that the thing about Norstrom too? Is like, oh, he's physical. It was like, oh, he's Reader, but he's more physical. Did he throw one body check tonight? Did he do anything effective with his body tonight? No. Like, come on. Like, the fourth line of the Leafs is what? Spezza? Like, go rail Spezza if you want to do something, Norstrom, you useless dipshit.
Okay, so let's power rank the lines to close this out. Obviously, the fourth line, we don't even give them a ranking, but your lines one, two, and three.
Negative ranking. Well, I really did like the Monahan line tonight. Like, I thought, especially Monahan, like, Gaudreau was good tonight, but I thought Sean Monahan was great tonight for me.
Yeah, he was deadly.
Like, again, 11 scoring chances on his own. Dude was great in the offensive zone, as he usually is. So, but again, like, that Mangiapane, Lindholm, Kachuk line, quietly, they just literally put up like over 70% expected goals, like, every single night. They have been great 5-on-5. So I'll go that line, the Gaudreau line, the Backlund line has been kind of meh for me. I know Backlund's kind of just been like filtering through line mates. So I think the lines 1 through 4 are 1 through 4 right now. The top line's been, again, like, this is what I want. This is, I'm glad it's working out this way. And I hope, it sounds kind of weird to be talking this way after a loss, but the Kachuk Lindholm line is doing what they're supposed to do, which is drive play and be responsible in their own zone. They're doing that. The Gaudreau Monahan line is supposed to create offense. They're doing that. So I think if you get a bit more from the Backlund line and just fucking nuke that fourth line and get somebody who can play hockey on there, you're going to be looking pretty good.
Yeah, Backlund is kind of, you almost feel sorry for him because he's got...
You know what? Like, I do. Like, I kind of feel like he's underutilized.
Well, he's got two rotating doors to the, you know, either side of him with these wingers right now. So, just mainly because of the Dubé injury, but that's how it goes. Bennett was pretty invisible for me today, which
maybe that's a good thing.
Maybe I'll take that, right? At this point, which is, you don't really want to say that, but that's kind of what way it is.
I'll take invisible over taking 43 unnecessary offensive zone stick infraction penalties.
Yeah. I'm going to rank Monty Johnny number one. And listen, I know I'm not really separating 5-on-5 from everything else, but those two for me have been awesome to start the season. So they'll be my number one. Then I'll go with Chucky Lindholm.
Love it. Good shit. All right. So we play the Leafs on Tuesday, right? Tuesday. And then we have a back, like, the Habs are going to be interesting. Again, I wasn't particularly impressed. I haven't been impressed with the Leafs this season. They got lucky to win tonight. I haven't been super impressed. You got to beat them on Tuesday though.
Yeah, you have to.
You have to, because you've played three and a half really good games. You sucked in the second half against the Jets. You've played three and a half really good games. You really got to beat them, because Montreal looks insane right now, and that's going to be two really tough games.
Well, right now, the teams that look the best are Montreal, Winnipeg, and I thought Calgary until tonight's game. So we'll see. They better turn it around. But I think those are the three top teams so far. And the next five games are against Winnipeg and Montreal. So the teams that are rolling, it'll be a good test. And then we got Edmonton after that.
Calling all Jets fans and foodies. What's going on, guys? I'm Brandon Rewicki, the host of Skates and Plates on the Hockey Podcast Network. Look, if you love Jets hockey, this is the place for you. In-depth breakdowns from every game, a deep dive into the big plays and moments from Winnipeg's season, and all the Jets talk you will not find anywhere else. We got it for you on Skates and Plates. Plus, if you love carbs and everything tasty, we jump into the world of food as well. Once a week, we also speak with a member of the local culinary scene to highlight their great stories and the great food they put out. So there it is. Hockey, Jets, food, drink, everything good in life. It's right here on Skates and Plates on the Hockey Podcast Network.